I think actually is almost at perfect timing, and I'll get into that a little bit. But before I do that, just want to give you guys a recap on what we've been talking about. We've been talking about Titus, and who is Titus? What does Titus do? And Titus was somebody that the Apostle Paul appointed, and he told him, Titus, I'm going to leave you here in Crete, and I want you to basically fix the church that's there. I want you to appoint elders. I want to give you instruction on what they should be to be an elder, to be a leader, to be a righteous living Christian. And so at first thought, you think, oh, here comes another Bible story. No. This is amazing because what happened then and how we are today still applies. And, you know, last week, Paul said to Titus 2, and we as a church, that we must exercise self-control. We need to be worthy of respect, and we need to live wisely. And we must have sound faith and filled with love and patience as well when we teach. We need to live in a way that honors God and should teach others that is good. Teach them how to live wisely and to live pure, but do it, as he says, with love and patience. And you must also be an example by them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. So I've been saying this saying now for a couple of sermons. It says here, love God by living for God. Pretty simple. And we've looked at it in different ways. And the bottom line is this. No matter how you live for God, you got to love God. You got to know Him. And how much you want to honor God by living for Him is by loving God. Does that make sense? That may be a little confusing. But no matter what you do, you got to love God by living for God. And you got to love others just as God loves them. Love God by living for God. So today I want to share with you something a little bit different than what we've been talking about. I'm going to talk about our role as believers in the government today. Now before I do that, some of you are already going, oh, he's going to talk about politics. Relax. It's okay. We're going to talk about the government. And we as Christians, how we should be in the government. As I've shared before, there are some things that drives me crazy. And there's one thing that happens that I'm really torn about. And you know what it is? Red light cameras. I don't know what to think about them. Now, I haven't got a ticket yet. You may have. But I can just picture it now. You open up the letter and, oh, what's this? You know, maybe it's a refund from the IRS, you know. You're excited and you open up $200 ticket and it's got your license plate. You did this and now you're guilty. I'm sure you're not going, all right, I'm going to give back to the government. Probably not. So I've really thought about it and I've actually looked into it. Are red light cameras really doing what it's supposed to do? Now you have this side, which is we want people to be safer. We don't want people to run red lights because it could be a harm and danger to other people, pedestrians. So we're going to put the red light there to punish those who break the law. Okay? That seems like a pretty good argument. Then, on the flip side, those same people that run the red light know that there's a camera light there. They see the yellow light and then they go really fast to beat the red light so they don't get a ticket. Well, that's just kind of even more dangerous. And so you have that argument. It's good because people slow down. It's okay to slow down when you're at a stoplight just to be safe. On the other hand, you have like semi trucks where they can't stop on a dime, you know, so they're going to have to slow really down in case there is a yellow light so that way they can stop. So they just kind of stop traffic. A lot of people say, no, this needs to be done and it's good and it's a way to keep people honest. Others saying, you know what, this is an overreach of authority. They don't have the right to do that. As a matter of fact, there was a big deal in Arlington where there was a red light, and I knew the exact camera because I almost ran it twice, but I didn't get a ticket, thankfully. But it was a big deal, and the voters were upset. And they said, you don't have the right to do this, to just enforce this, and we want to put it on the ballot. So they did, the government, the city leaders put it on the ballot, and the voters voted it down. They said, we don't want you to put a red light. We don't want no more tickets. So they voted it down, and by law, they had to take the camera out. There's certain things when you use the word politics. But when we first hear the word politics, we don't think about red light cameras, do we? We think about the big stuff. Oh my goodness, you're going to start talking about politics. You're going to start talking about things that are uncomfortable. But you know, I believe one of the reasons why we like a good story is it has drama and suspense in it. It grabs the attention. And sometimes in the government system, there's stories like that that happens, and it's a big deal. And the people that normally don't watch politics all the time, now they're watching, because they want to see how it happens. Let me give you an example. Now, I'm not here to rag on anybody, but there's a lot of TV stars, they ain't got no talent. They just got bad lives. And somebody had the bright idea to put a camera in their house, and these people are now celebrity stars. And I know friends who actually watch some of the shows. I go, why are you wasting your time? You're just seeing something that has no positive, really anything. Drama and suspense. And people, it drives them. Even if it, you know, I like to watch stuff that can, you know, maybe I can learn something. You don't want to learn from that. But reality shows are that way. You got to have the drama and suspense. I got to be honest with you. If they put a camera in my apartment, I wouldn't get any ratings, you know, because it's boring. I study and I watch a little bit of documentaries and, you know, the inside of the apartment, it's pretty bad. I mean, honestly, I've seen prison cells that have home decor than my place. You know, it's just bare walls. There's not a lot there. It's boring. But if I had a life full of drama and suspense, people would watch it. It drives us. So sometimes, when the drama and suspense is in the government system, we get involved. Sometimes politics is very touchy. I know friends that have all different types of beliefs and views, and that's okay. But sometimes, if two of the people with opposite beliefs or opposite views don't handle it correctly, it can get pretty heated. And it's crazy to think that even people would put violence into it. And what's even more ironic is that this thing, not violence, but this drama and suspense story happened last week just right down the street. I start getting people, you know, around school in different places. And to be honest with you, Italy's not, doesn't have a good reputation in the news. Can I just be honest? It just doesn't. I know three good stories out of all my years of watching TV that were about it that was good, okay? The first one was in 1997 when we won state. That was good news. The second one was whenever Keith Davis, who was a former Italy Gladiator, made the Dallas Cowboys team, played for the Premiers. That's good. And then the third one was just this, I was watching this morning show and they wanted to do a segment on the town and, you know, it was good. That's it. Out of the 20 plus years of me watching TV, three stories. And we've been on the news a lot and it's usually not good. So whenever I hear what's going on in Italy, my first thought is, oh no. I mean, really, why is that? Well, because a lot of times it's not good. Now, I believe we can get to the point where we can have a better reputation in the news. And I know we can. We have a lot of great people in this community. And, you know, the media, they want to, you know, that they know that on those things it grabs the attention because there's drama and suspense that's involved. They don't see all the other wonderful things we do in this community. And that's just the way it is. That's just how media works. But last week, there was a big problem in the government. And so what happened was, in short term, the chief of police was fired, he was terminated, and it was because they said he was not doing his job, it was hard for him to do his job and teach another job, teaching criminal justice. The chief said, no, I can do this, I can do both, and this is that, and this is there, and now it's a whole big blow up. And so before you know it, they're having a meeting about it, and during that meeting on Monday night, two of the members walked out, which that means they couldn't vote on the situation, and that made, you know, a lot of people upset. Now, whichever side you are on this, I just want to let you know that there was drama and suspense, so the news picked it up. So now we're on the news again, and it's not something good. Now, to be honest, this drama and suspense, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't drive me. I just don't have any interest for it. My mind, I'm wired differently. If I'm not learning or if I'm not getting better at, you know, something, I'm going after that. You know, if it's something that I don't see beneficial for me and making me better. I don't want any part of it. So when I hear stories like this, I usually don't go after it. I usually, it just doesn't interest me, I guess you could say. And so when I saw this story, I thought, okay, I don't know the full story. I don't know the whole truth. So I don't really have anything to say. And I really don't. But this is what I want to say to you if you're involved in that right now. I want to let you know that there's a good way to handle this and a bad way to handle this. And I'm going to tell you how God wants you to handle it. Because there's a right way to do it. Paul's talking to Titus in chapter 3. This is what he says. Titus, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. So here's my first point today, which is simply this. Represent Christ in all areas of life. We've been talking about the human heart, and now we have to have the Holy Spirit to guide our heart, to be in the correct line, to have our heart in alignment. Now we have to constantly check and make sure we're doing the right thing in our heart. We talked about ourselves. Then we talked about the families, how we need to be leaders. As Paul's telling, hey, you've got to build up these leaders. How do you be a leader? We've talked about that. How to be a leader in your home and a leader in really anything, your church, or do whatever it may be God's using you to lead. There's a correct way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And now we're talking about community and the government. You know, I know that there's people have different views on the government. I understand that. Some people believe that. I've heard people say, well, I believe that if God appoints the people and puts them in power, that we just need to stand out, get out of the way because God allows it. I've heard other people say, no, we need to be involved in government. We need to make sure we have Christian values. Others are saying we got to be all in, and we got to make sure and appoint people to run the government that know the faith and live the faith. So I know we all have different views. I believe that we do need to be involved in our community. We do need to serve and do it correctly. And I believe that whenever we do it the right way, we make an impact on the community and the local government.
Right.
But in verse 2, Paul says, Titus, they must not slander anyone. And what that means is, Titus, you should not speak evil against anyone, including government officials. Because looking at the Greek word here on speaking evil, it says the purpose of harming the reputation. It's one thing to disagree with somebody. It's another thing to go after them and their kids and their family and try to ruin their family's lives. I want to tell you something right now. That is not what God wants.
Right.
God does not want you to represent him in that manner where he wants you to ruin someone else's reputation. So we know that's for sure. God does not want that. And a lot of times, it's easy to get wrapped up in other people's lives, but not focus on your own life. I hope I make that clear. I've seen people who they spend more time following a politician, following a celebrity, following someone else in their every move. And you can do that now with social media, by the way. Every single minute, but yet their own family and their own personal life is crumbling. So I believe we should be involved in our community and our government. I do believe that God blesses those who show who he really is in the public's eye. Now, whenever you do slander someone, not only is it bad and God does not want it, but it also ruins your witness as a follower of Christ. Somebody who is not a believer in Christ or maybe looking at it, maybe interested in it, if they see that you're trying to ruin someone else's reputation, their life, going after their family or their kids, and I'm not talking about physically and violence, we don't do that here, but maybe verbally, maybe on social media, I don't know what it may be, but you know, because the Holy Spirit can convict you of that and let you know, hey, you shouldn't do that, right? So if you're doing that and you're trying to ruin their reputation, not only does God not want that, because Paul says don't do that, but it also ruins your witness because other people see it and they go, wow, this person goes to church? That seems kind of messed up, doesn't it? A lot of times, our reputation goes away as well whenever we do not do this properly. Verse 1 reminds us of our obligation. We do need to be subject to civil authorities and to their need to follow the direction of appointed civil leaders. And Paul talks about that in Romans. But also, I want to make this clear as well, we also, number one, we are under allegiance to God. Now, we pledge allegiance to the United States of America, but God is always the final authority. Amen. The example of that is in the early church in Acts 5. When they told them, they said, you got to stop talking about Jesus Christ. And they said, we serve God, not man. Now, they did not blow up in their face. They did not riot the town. They did not cause this big scene. They simply said, no, we're doing it this way. You see what I'm getting at here? There's ways to do it correctly. There's ways to serve and to do that correctly and do it in a godly way. I also believe that we must have accountability everywhere. I need accountability. You need accountability. We definitely need accountability in the government system because, as I've said before, it's easy to become corrupt, especially if your heart's not in the right place, no matter who you are. There's a lot of corruption in the government. I'm not talking about this local government. I'm talking about the federal government, the state government. There's corruption, okay? Can I be honest? All right? We have to hold those people accountable as well, but we do it in a correct way. We have to have an attitude and action of Christians that are not malicious, but rather gentle, just like the disciples were. It's the same as evangelizing. You go and you evangelize to somebody. You don't try to force a Bible down their throat. You tell them about Jesus, and Jesus said, hey, guess what? If they don't welcome you in your home, it's time to shake off the dust off your feet and go on. The same goes there. So I believe as we as believers, when it comes to the government, yes, we must go by the laws. Even if you do run a red light, okay, you better pay attention. I guess you could protest it. You have the right to do that. But there's better ways to do it and do it God's way. Living for God, because you love God, should be the first and most important thing. Paul says, be obedient, meaning you have to do what is good. You have to have a willingness to serve. You have to. Jesus served. Jesus did not speak evil to other fellow believers. He did not do things that God the Father did not want him to do. He showed love. He showed the truth. But he also corrected and held people accountable as well. We have to be like Christ. And when Christ was also insulted, by the way, he did not retaliate. And so, this is what God wants, friends. Paul says that we need to be gentle. We need to show true humility and follow Christ's example. The Life Application of the New Testament commentary says this: believers could show gentleness and humility to unbelievers in their neighborhoods by offering help without strings attached. When we help unbelievers, we open a door for the gospel. So simply put, here's my second point today, is this: serve him and serve them because Jesus did. Serve God, serve the community, serve the people, because Jesus did. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Matthew 20:28 says, for even the Son of Man cannot be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus went to the outcast. He didn't sit in the temple his whole life. He didn't tell people, y'all come. He went too, and he shared the gospel. He told the truth. He went to the people that were considered poor and unrighteous and didn't deserve to know who God is. He went to the well. He went to the sick. He healed them. He went and he served. And he was faithful to what God told him to do. Jesus didn't come to join the Pharisee club. He came to correct and to also show who God really is. And a lot of times, and we're at a state, I will say this, where the government is starting to try to put Jesus out. Now, it has changed, but in the years past, you're starting to see that form. We don't want to talk about Jesus because it's offensive. We don't want to talk about this because it's politically correct. Well, the Bible's not politically correct. The Bible tells the truth, right. And we go by the truth. Yes. But we have to do it in a way that is gentle and humble, just as Paul told Titus. So we have to have a willingness to serve God. We have to have a willingness to serve others, serve the community. We have to have a willingness to be able to help our community. And if there is quarrels or problems in the government system, we have to be able the ones to stand up and say, I want to do this the way God wants to. We can do this peacefully. We can't speak how we feel, and I think that's great. But there's a good way to do it and a bad way to do it. Now, I'm not ragging on the community. I'm not saying that, you know, I didn't see anything that was harmful that anyone did. But there's situations like last week where it could get to that point. And I want to warn you that if that happens and things get to a next level, it's not what God wants if we begin to ruin the reputations of others and bash people and make them seem like they're not worthy to know God, because he is. All of them are. We have to be that example. There's a gentleman named Matthew Barnett. Matthew Barnett is, he is the leader of a huge organization. And it's called the Dream Center. It's in Los Angeles, and it's been there for many years. It's a great organization, great family. They come from the AG, and it's really great. He spoke at the North Texas Men's Conference, and then the next day he had a meeting with all the ministers that could come. And this is what he said, and I wrote this down, and I haven't forgot it. Because in Los Angeles, they do things a little differently. And they continue to, what they do is they give meals to the homeless, they give them a place, and then they begin to do ministry in their lives. It's a powerful thing, and they have a lot of people that come, and it's a thriving ministry. And a lot of people ask him, they say, Matthew, how can you do this in Los Angeles? You know, because, you know, from what we see on the news, they'd probably not be for that. And you know what he said? He said, God did not anoint the government to heal people. We did. We are the ones that are anointed to heal the sick, not the government. Man. And the second thing he said was this. Everything Jesus did was good. Now, if you're working for the Lord and you're doing what is good, it's really hard for something, some authority to come in and take away what you're doing for the Lord, right? Even in communist countries where they don't accept Christianity, they can't really knock you out if you're doing what is good. If you're helping the widows, if you're helping the orphans, if you're feeding the poor, if you're going out and speaking life in the people, they can't really get too upset. We have to do what is good because we're the ones that are anointed for soul repair and for healing, not the government. Yes. The government can put money towards things and make things better, sure. But in the long run, it's we as the church that needs to go to the community and show them that this love that we're giving you can be eternal, and it can change your life right now. And with all that being said, we have to also observe and respect the laws, especially if they don't contradict our belief or the Bible. For example, I do prison ministry. Y'all know that. I have the right to go in there. I have the right to say what I have to say, what I feel God puts on my heart. I have the freedom of religion, and so do other people that go in there. They have the freedom of their religion. It's a very free thing, but there's rules, okay? As a minister, I have to abide by those rules. I can't go in there and try to bring in a shank, okay? I can't go in there and try to bring something that would harm someone. I can't bring any drugs in. I can't, you know, there's a lot of rules because they put themselves kind of at risk, but they want to bring people in that the other inmates' faith, the same faith they have, they want to bring these people in, but they put themselves at risk, so they say, we're going to let you in, but you just got to go by these rules. If at one point the Bureau told me, you can no longer talk about Jesus Christ, I would not throw stuff at them. I would not try to go after the warden and down and try to ruin their reputation. I would simply say, I disagree with this, and I would tell them what I feel is correct. I would stand up for what I believe in, but I would do it in a peaceful way. I hope these illustrations, you guys, you get what I'm saying. There's a right way to do it. There's a wrong way to do it. And Paul tells Titus how to do it. And we as believers today need to do the same. Yes. So Paul says, Titus and church, you need to be subject to rulers and authorities. You need to be obedient. You need to be ready to do whatever is good in that situation. You must not slander anyone. You have to do it with peace and be considerate, even your enemies. You have to show true humility to all men because people are watching. And not only are they watching, they're observing, and they could be the person that you change just by your correct actions for God.
Amen.
A Christian citizen should be an influence for good in the community in every way, demonstrating the lovingness of Christ to all through courteous and gracious behavior. This is really showing God's grace. This is really showing who God is, and this is showing who Jesus Christ is and who he really is.
Man.
And one more thing is this. Friends, I don't want you to get all worked up over stuff like this, whether it be here, whether it be the state, whether it be federal, because in the end, God has control over this.
Yes.
There's nothing out of his hands. God has a plan for us. We have a mission to do. Now, we're not all called ministers. We're not all going to preach. But God uses us to do things and to fulfill what he wants us to do. Don't lose sight of that. Sure, we pray for our leaders. Sure, we want to do the right things. But don't get lost and worried and distracted about the things that go around you. Because in the end, we spend eternity with God. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're set free from our sin. And there's always been problems, even in the Bible, it starts. So don't get wrapped up in that either. Just know God has control. And it may not just be in the community. It may not just be in the government system. Maybe there's things going on right now in your life personally that you're worried about. I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit can help you overcome those worries. Because the enemy tries to make you worry. The enemy tries to put doubt in your mind, whatever it may be. But just know that God knows. God sees your struggles. God sees your heart. And he wants to help you. And when you go to him, he will meet you. Because he is faithful in what he does. Do not worry. Worriness is in the Bible all throughout. And God continually says, do not worry. Do not fear. He is with us. Amen.